District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
This is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today we're here chatting with Brad Stewart from Stewart Private Accounting. Hi Brad, how are you?
Good, thank you, Alan.
What was it about accounting that drew you to create that or make that your career?
So, look, Alan, when I was growing up, I always wanted to be a pilot. Unfortunately, I was colourblind and I couldn't get into the Air Force. And at the time, getting into commercial aviation was very restricted also, being colourblind. So flying wasn't really, flying professionally or commercially really wasn't an option for me. Finance was my next best sort of option because I wanted to be in the finance arena, so to speak. I actually wanted to be a stockbroker. I spoke to a few stockbrokers. They advised me become a financial planner. I spoke to a few financial planners and they said, no, become an accountant and you can do all three. So I ended up going to uni, becoming an accountant, qualified as a chartered accountant, and haven't looked back since.
I notice on your website you've got lots of aeroplane pictures.
Yes, and that's where I suppose the aviation passion comes from. I still love aviation and I love aeroplanes. I don't fly, but I try and involve myself as much as I can around that aviation industry.
So the colour blindness does stop you from flying the aircraft, does it?
It doesn't stop you completely. You can still fly during the day. You are restricted at night time and where you can fly.
What's the biggest challenge you've faced in developing your business?
I suppose the challenge for me is working, you're no longer working as a employee. You are it. You're the marketer. You're the accountant. You're the administration person, although I do have my lovely wife at home who helps me out with that. You're it, and the buck stops with you. And I suppose it's been a really, really good learning point for myself to help my clients as well, because you really get a good understanding of what they're going through as well. When I was a manager, senior manager, working at the bigger firms and working at the smaller firms, you don't really get an appreciation of what it's like being a business owner until you actually are a business owner.
That's the same with everything, isn't it?
True.
And you can't really know something until you've experienced it.
You can learn about it in books, but it's just not the same.
No, you don't really, you know it, but you don't know it.
Or you don't appreciate it.
You don't. That's probably better. So what tips have you got for business, you know, small, I suppose businesses of any size, really. So what is your main tip?
Okay, so I work with small business generally that turn over anywhere from $100,000 right up to, you know, $10 million. And the principles largely remain the same when it comes to things like tax planning. Tax planning is an extremely important part of the financial year. I run tax planning with my clients from generally April through to early June. And what tax planning allows us to do is calculate what we think the tax may be for the year, ensure that we're not paying any unnecessary tax that we shouldn't be. But also often business owners or businesses have structures. So you'll be familiar with a company, you'll be familiar with a family trust. All of those structures require certain documents to be in place before the end of the financial year. And the ATO, or the Australian Taxation Office, in recent years has really come down on those documents being in place rather than being an afterthought. So it's really important that all of those items are in place for 30 June. But also, one of the most important factors of tax planning is it allows you to manage your cash flow. So if you know when your tax payments are coming up, how much they are going to be, you can plan for them.
Well, that sounds like another tip, Brad, cash flow management.
Correct, cash flow management. So this would probably be one of the most common things I get asked being an accountant is, well, we're making lots of profit or we're making profit, but where's the money? And it's really important as a business owner, you understand where your cash flow is going. You know, it's all good and well to look at your profit and loss, but often your profit and loss doesn't actually mean cash flow. So if you've earned $100,000 during the year, that doesn't necessarily mean you've generated $100,000 worth of free cash flow. So it's really important you do cash flow models. You work with your accountant or your advisor to look at your cash flow over the course of a year. You can review that and see where the peaks and troughs are in your business in terms of activity and turnover, ingoings and outgoings, I suppose. And then you can plan for any deficiencies. So, for example, if you've got a cyclical business, you may need an overdraft in place. There's nothing worse than applying for an overdraft when it's too late. You want to have that overdraft in place before it becomes an issue. So doing some tax planning actually allows you to forecast for that shortfall, go to the bank, get some finance. And furthermore, banks love to see cash flows. It shows really good structured management. And the banks generally now require a cash flow to be done. More specifically, a three-way cash flow.
What's a three-way cash flow?
So a three-way cash flow is a report. And that report shows your profit and loss, your balance sheet, and a forecast of your cash flow for the next 12 months. It can be next 12 months, can be up to 5 years. But it's based on assumptions. And generally those assumptions are driven by drivers, like what are your sales going to be for the next 12 months? What's the growth rate going to be? Or what's the decline going to be? Because unfortunately, when you do these things, you know, you've got to be realistic. And we all know everything doesn't always go up. We can see a decline in sales, and we try and make them as realistic as possible. There's no point not having them realistic because otherwise they're endless.
Self-delusion then.
Correct.
Leads to problems. What, when you say modelling, what do you put in the model?
So the modelling is based on assumptions.
Yep.
So the assumptions are my income is going to be X, and over the year that's broken up on a monthly basis. And I suppose the model is really, it's not a model in the form of a physical model, but it's a model in the form of an analysis of where you might be in 12 months' time.
Okay. So it is mainly just income. So when you said the model, I thought there'd be more than one element.
Yeah,
involved.
So as I explained, there's three elements to it. There's the profit and loss, so what your P&L is going to look like in 12 months' time, what your balance sheet is going to look like in 12 months' time, and really what your cash flow is going to look like in 12 months' time. So essentially, you then break it down into a monthly basis, and that's where the cash flow kicks in, because you can see in individual months, well, cash flow's up in that month, let's put some money aside. Next month, cash flow's going to be down. Great, we've had a bumper month there, so we can save up for that month.
Great. And another tip is knowing your numbers. What can you tell me about that?
So quite often I get asked the question by potential business owners, what's a good business to buy? And I say to them, they're all good. And they say, oh, but aren't some bad? And I say, well, yes, they're all bad too. And I get quite a perplexed look. And I suppose what I mean by that is ultimately, within reason, it's not the business you're in, it's how you run it. Because I see two business owners. One has a really successful, profitable business. The other doesn't. They both have similar turnovers. They're both in the same industry. They're both in similar demographic areas. But one business owner, they have two very different results. And I suppose what it comes down to is the business owner who's more successful and is, more profitable is the business owner that really understands their numbers. They understand the key numbers in their business that makes their business go forward. So, for example, they know that on any given day what they've turned over. They know what their labour cost was on that particular day. They know what their particular input cost was on those on a particular day or on a particular week. And what that allows the owner to do is to go into their business and identify any areas that are not performing well and implement change. Train staff, look for cheaper suppliers, all of those sorts of things. So by knowing your key numbers, things like your turnover, your gross profit, your net profit, your percentage of wages to turnover, by monitoring those key stats on a regular basis, and it doesn't have to be on a daily basis, but weekly, monthly, quarterly, you can really find that I'll save $1,000 one week, saving $1,000 every week on labour and on your input costs. Well, that's $50,000 over a year just by being more thoughtful and paying attention to your numbers.
Paying attention to the systems. Like, if you've got a business that requires, a dog washing business, and you've got a client in Bassendean and one in Southlake, but you do the Bassendean one first, then you go to Southlake, then you come back to Wanneroo, it would make sense to organise that into a run that's, you can do them in sequence. So you're cutting down your fuel base. That would
correct.
Be
so often your numbers tell a story. So where there's an issue, there's often a failing in the system, or there's a failing in the training of the staff. Too often I see business owners blame their staff as opposed to blaming the system. Oh, that person's hopeless. He or she can't do that well. Well, what training has that person received? What are the systems behind that process to ensure that he or she can do that job correctly? So if you can identify, say, for example, your dog wash business, well, his fuel expense might be quite large. Well, if you plan your travel out and your route out a bit better and perhaps try and get an extra job for that particular day that sits somewhere between Bassendean and Wanneroo, well, you might find that you've made a better use of your time.
And fuel. So you can save hundreds of dollars with the cost of fuel these days.
Correct.
All right. Have you got anything else you'd like to chat about, Brad?
So I suppose the last point I wanted to talk about is really the importance of working closely with your accountant. I believe as a small business owner, it can be very lonely. You really don't have, a lot of business owners really don't have those support networks around them. I find that as an accountant, a lot of people tell me their war stories. A lot of people, and it's more than just business. It's really important that you're speaking regularly with your accountant, and you're not too afraid to speak with them and tell them how your business is going, because they will be really interested in how your business is going. If your accountant's not making regular phone calls to you, I'd suggest that they need to be more proactive and taking a greater interest in your business as opposed to just doing your compliance at year end.
Without naming names, can you tell me a good example of a war story?
Oh, look, war stories really, come from people who have got divorced right through to, from a, looking at a personal issue. and helping them resolve whatever finance problem they may that may come about. So one of my service offerings is I like to talk about the trusted concierge. And I suppose what that allows us to do is I've been in practice, like I said before, for 15 years, and I've developed relationships with lots of different professionals, lawyers, stockbrokers, financial planners, insurance brokers, mortgage brokers. So I'm not an expert in all of those areas, but I know people who are. So I can point them in the right direction. For example, a family lawyer can help with those family law issues.
Yeah. So you can offer specific recommended services for a specific task.
Correct. Yeah. And being the accountant, generally you're seen as the centre point of that advice, because as a business owner, you generally have structures, you have trusts, you have companies, and you need an accountant there to help explain what you actually have, because too often I find people just they have a bit of an idea of what they've got, but not the full story.
I can relate to that. having been in business myself now for 40 years and made every mistake you can think of and more probably. But that's been great. Thanks, Brad. We've been chatting with Brad Stewart from Stewart Private Accounting. Thanks for your time, Brad, and for those very timely tips.
Thank you, Alan.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the power of connection.